Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a curse for us. When Adam sinned, all creation came under a curse, and everyone who breaks God's law is cursed. But Jesus bore our curse on the cross so that we may receive the blessings of God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy doesn't want to talk about hell, but I get to. This is Wretched Radio. I have the privilege and just, not that many moments. I get to join David Wheaton on his Christian Worldview program. He's going to talk about the subject of hell, which is a topic that has suddenly been thrust upon us for our re-examination. I don't think that it is a doctrine that needs to be reviewed. It is so clear. It would be as if somebody said, hey, let's just talk about Jesus being God. Don't need to. Don't need to talk about the eternality of hell. It's just that clear. And the witness of the church for 2,000 years testifies the case is really closed. It is a big deal. It is a big conversation. It is one that we've been having all week. Jimmy doesn't want to have it anymore, but that's okay. I get to join David Wheaton. If you've never checked out David's program, Christian Worldview, go find him. You will be blessed by him. His show, it's an hour long. It's on the weekend. He is so thoughtful. Believe me, I know. Normally, a talk show host would be like, you want to come on the program? And then at the last second, the dude's like scrambling to come up with some notes. Let me just look at the table of contents of your book and ask you, I see here in chapter 7, that's not David Wheaton. He sent me the questions in advance. Oh boy, we're going to do a deep dive on hell, Christian Worldview. Just look for David Wheaton, look for Christian Worldview. You will be blessed. And then start sending stuff to idea@wretched.org or feel free to text 877-282-2337.
Okay, this question is from Murphy. Todd, is it wrong for me to limit hanging out with my brother-in-law because he loses his temper and excessively yells or acts selfishly toward me? The odd thing is he's calm and respectful with church friends and our pastor.
Yeah, it's funny how people can keep it under control when they want to. That's it. I'm not sure this is a perfect rule, but if I see somebody who's got a sin area, let's just use anger because that's what's currently on the table, but they can keep it together in a context, then they can keep it together in other contexts. That would be a choice at that point. Should you continue or cut back on your time with that person? I'm going to put a preamble on this only because it's 2026. It's the 21st century. And there is a trend that we have been talking about regularly here because it is so widespread and it is so nasty. It's boundary drawing. It's building walls, protecting yourself. Let them theory. This is the idea that if anybody bugs you in any way, shape, or form, you ghost them. You cut them out of your life. You limit. You make rules because you got to protect yourself. Now, that's a big, ugly trend. Why? Because anybody who says anything that they disagree with, well, then you got to build a boundary and you're done and I'm cutting you out. That isn't biblical. The biblical posture toward other sinners is patience and love and forbearance, the cultivating of relationships, desiring the other person's good, being willing to self-sacrifice. That's how we should be seeing difficult people. And so I think it's important before getting to the bullseye of the question, the trajectory of the Christian is not boundary setting. The face of the Christian is set on, I love you. I'm going to desire your best. I'm going to help you in every way. And I'm going to overlook a multitude of sins because I desire relationship. Because if I'm in a family with you, then God has providentially put us together. So I have an obligation to you. And I think that obligation is love, patience, kindness, wanting the best, helping. not cutting them out. Now, having said that, that's our posture, is there ever a time to limit? And the answer to that is yes. But that's, think of limiting as close to the nuclear option. The nuclear option is done, never want to see you again. And there are times for that too. I do believe that it is a process in most instances. Safety is always a big issue. If you are physically not safe from this individual, then that's not boundary drawing. That would just be common sense and not allowing yourself to be abused. So we want to make sure that we understand that the way that I view people isn't to cut them off as fast as I can. That's more nuclear option. And that's why this current trend is so pernicious. You say, hey, Jimmy, what do you think about my tie today?
Tie?
Yeah.
You know.
What do you mean? Why are you pausing?
It could have been
done. I'm to cut him off. I'm done. We need somebody new here. That's modern day. What do you, you don't praise my tie. You're out of here. That's not the Christian response. That's the world's response. We forbear, recognizing there can be times. And because our emotions can cloud the water so profoundly, if you're thinking about, you know, limiting that time and what with somebody that you are in a dynamic relationship with, being like in-laws, do it with wise counsel. Do it with wise counsel, because they're likely going to bring things to your attention that you simply can't identify because you can't read your own heart well. Furthermore, they might bring up things that you've forgotten, like, hey, is that brother-in-law saved? Could it be that the Lord has put him in your path so that you can evangelize him? Oh, hey, I never thought about it that way. And then suddenly you're making a different decision. So there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors, particularly, repeat with me, in the context of your local church. 877. Would you add anything to that, Jimmy?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. I would say that there could come a time, and I think you were all around this. You may have even said it, but I think there could come a time where it needs to go to the pastor.
Oh, sure.
Because, I mean, that's the counsel that he apparently needs. And if he's calm around the pastor, because he chooses to be, the pastor may not even know he has an anger issue.
Getting your elders involved, certainly, or getting others involved to surround that person, to help that person. That's what the local church is supposed to be about. What an amazing concept. You know, church didn't just happen. It's the idea of our Savior. And it is awesome, especially when we are given rules, that the rules of the church have never been more starkly contrasted to the rules of the world when it comes to relationships. This is, you wanted to, okay, so you could say, well, gender stuff, that's really stark. Yep, it is. Understanding a marriage, that's stark. Yep. But relationships, this trend of boundary setting is so worldly and so awful. And it's contra to how we're supposed to be treating one another, especially in the context of a local church. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous as a text. Todd, should we strictly follow speed limits?
Hey, look at that Josh Howley video with you right there.
Oh, come on.
Last time we talked about this, if I recall, I took a beating.
You took one from me.
You say absolutely, strictly follow them.
I think that's the Christian posture, yes.
Let me say this. I think that our desire should be to follow the limits. But I think that I think even the government understands driving is dynamic, and there could be times when you're going a few miles over the speed limit. You know, the police, they overlook that sort of stuff. But I think the principle is we try to be law-abiding citizens. Would you like to know the most helpful thing? In fact, I used this morning. I have to drive on Highway 400 in Atlanta. Mm. It's big, and people go very fast. And I'm not sure anybody went to driving school in Atlanta. And it's that road. And the right-hand lane, I have to stay in the right lane because I just go from exit to exit. But I can get frustrated because the right lane, you know, is the right lane drivers. And I have a desire to just gun it, get around them and cut in front of them so I can get to the exit sooner and then off I go. Now, I've observed this, but I did not want to affirm it. I can zip around that person and I get up to the stoplight at the top of the ramp and there they are right behind me. So what did I pick up? Like 12 feet. But the thing that really convicted me was I saw a video once, John Piper was asked this question. And he gave what was such a surprising answer for John Piper. He said, I did the math. Not what I expect from John Piper. I expect, here's the Bible verse. He said, I did the math that if you drive this far at this speed versus this the same distance at this speed, this is how much time you pick up. And it was so insignificant. I just went, it's genuine. So let's just say I'm driving like a madman, risking people's lives, disobeying the law, and I'm white knuckle because I got to get over and get over and move me, let me into this thing and get. I've got my turn signal on. It just ain't worth it. This is Wretched Radio.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at FortisPlus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options: be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
Books of the Bible. The book of Job answers the question, why do the righteous suffer? When Job loses everything, his friends blame him. But when Job questions the Lord, he responds, God is sovereign and he is good. His ways are beyond our understanding. When you suffer, know that God is in control. He has his own purposes that you may not understand.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Being from Minnesota has its benefits. This is Wretched Radio. Sorry. Even as I said it, it's like these days, it's really good to be from Minnesota because, wow, what's going on there? But Jimmy, I don't know if you noticed what happened on the question regarding should Christians always obey the speed limit.
Uh-huh.
I used some Minnesota skills.
You did.
Just kind of skated right around it. Yeah, we should seek to obey the speed limit. Of course we should.
Yeah, I think there's wisdom in like flow of traffic and things like that, that you've just got to be smart
okay,
on.
Okay, I'm not trying to talk my way into justifying speeding, but what you mentioned, Jimmy, have you been on like 400?
Oh, yeah.
You go ahead and do 55. And you got people like almost crashing into you, even in the right-hand lane. It's like the whole flow is average easily 70, 75 miles an hour. There are times on 400 just to test it. I don't do this for any other, just, you know, for scientific reasons. I'll be doing like 85.
Wow.
Boom. People just blast by you. I remember so vividly when we moved from Minnesota, we were driving on this. This will give you an idea of the year and how cheap we are. We actually had walkie-talkies between cars because using the cell phone, I think, was either too expensive. We didn't have whatever it was. We used walkie-talkies between cars. And we hit 75 coming down from Chattanooga into Atlanta. We hit 75. And I was behind Mrs. Friel, who's in the other vehicle. And I'm like, sweetheart, can you hear me? Is this thing on? Can you hear me? Okay, it was that torturous. Could you go a little faster, sweetheart? I'm going as fast as I can. That's my impression of my wife, apparently. I'm going as fast as I can. Well, they're bearing down on me. Like, this is like, they're going to crash into me. Could you pick it up? Okay. And that's when we were baptized into Atlanta traffic. And am I justifying speeding in that instance when it's like, it's just not safe to go the speed limit? These people are all insane and there's a flow issue. Or am I just trying to skate around the reality?
No, I
adhere to the limit all the time.
No, I mean, I think there's wisdom. I think there's wisdom in, like, you don't want to...
There you have it. So speed away, everybody. 877-282-2337. Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is from Ben, who says he's going back to school to get his doctorate in nursing. And he says, we use the American Psychological Association formatting for our papers. The problem is that the APA now promotes DEI. And one way is by using gender-affirming, gender-neutral terms in our papers. And as a Christian, I don't feel I should give in and go along with this, but I also don't believe the faculty at my school will budge on this.
Well,
how do I deal with it?
I got to tell you, I feel your pain. I do, and I think that this is so easy for me to say this here because I'm not having to stare at, I could get kicked out of the school and out of the program, and that could affect my family. It's the affect the timing, all of the arrangements that I get that. But I would say this, and I get it. It's easier for me. I couldn't do it. I couldn't. Do it. If you've got the people leading the psych department that don't know there's a difference between boys and girls, I'm sorry. I just can't participate in what I think is a depraved mind. I can't do it. Now, would I perhaps strive to come up with creative ways to kind of maneuver through it? Yeah, I think that would be okay. But I think if you're being forced to say, yes, I affirm that a boy can actually give birth to a baby, you know, like
as a medical professional and as a scientist, can men get pregnant?
I think you're also conflating male,
extraordinary.
Male with...
No, I'm not conflating male and female. They're two different things. There's
Brother, if you're asking me, I couldn't do it. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Jonathan. Todd, every so often I have Mormons come to the door, and I have had an increasing burden to evangelize them. What's the best way to lead them to the truth?
Make sure that you understand you can't. I mean, really get that firmly fixed, because it can be exceedingly challenging. This is how I handle Mormons. Having exchanged many, many times with Mormons, it is my method to focus on one thing with the Mormon. You don't have a chance. Your goodness, it is not even close enough. You do not do enough. You're going to be judged by the pristine holiness of God, and you are going to be found wanting. And let their conscience scream at them. Why? Because if I get into a debate with them over, for instance, the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, is he an eternal being or is he a created being? You're going to do that all round and round and round you go, and you get nowhere. And that has been my discovery. I just can't make advancements with a Mormon because they're so steeped and they're so prepared for the arguments. But their conscience is always vulnerable. Go after it. Help them to understand if they don't have the God-man Jesus Christ, you're going to perish, my Mormon friend. You are not going to make it to any level of celestial. You won't even make terrestrial. You're going to be damned. You need a savior. You need Jesus totally and completely. Not you do your best and Jesus does the rest. You need him fully and thoroughly and totally. Submit to Jesus Christ. Gotta go. I want that ringing in their ears. Now, there are a lot of people, they would say, I show them this Bible verse and this, but cool, rock on. But personally, having done it enough times, I don't find it a profitable endeavor to spend time paging through the Bible with them. I want to get to their conscience. And even if, now this is not the desire, but even if it means not telling them about Jesus, because they are just being very rich young rulery, you can let them ride off. And let the Holy Spirit do the convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And trusting the Lord that you thought it was best in wisdom to let this weigh on their conscience. You're going to hell. Goodbye. Because of the context of what's going on and all the dynamics, I think you can make that decision trusting that the Lord will get the gospel to them. You're not doing it because you're wanting to withhold it. You're not doing it because it's like, hey, you're going to go to hell. See ya. That isn't it. But because you think this person needs to be startled into the reality, you can't do enough good to assuage the wrath of God. You can't do enough to pay for your sins because you've committed them against an infinitely holy God. Oh, Jimmy. Oh, boy. It's going to be really hard to obey your request to not talk about hell. This is why hell is eternal, because we commit our sins against God. It is not our sins that are the thing that damn us eternally. It's the one against whom we've committed the sins. God, perfect in holiness, light inapproachable. He's the one that we have offended, and that's why hell is eternal. And so I want to leave that weighing on the Mormon. If I get a chance to say, you got to believe in Jesus, and it's got to be, you need fully God, fully man. You need a representative and you need a divine sacrifice, because if you don't have fully God, fully man, your sins aren't forgiven. You need Jesus. If you'd ever like to talk about it more, I'm more than happy to do that with you. Gotta go. That's my take. 877-282-2337.
Right, this is from Brent. Todd, whenever I hear someone say something along the lines of ask Jesus into your heart, it makes me cringe. I feel that it's theologically shallow and it downplays the importance of true repentance and salvation. Am I the only one that feels this way?
No. You can just go to the YouTube machine. You can put in wretched ask Jesus into your heart. Ray Comfort did a video on asking Jesus into your heart. I get it. Jesus, his Holy Spirit, he dwells in our hearts. I get it, but I understand that. But the question is, how does he get in there? And the answer is, he grants us repentance and faith. We repent, we turn from our sins, we put our trust in Jesus Christ. That is the fruit of being regenerated and born again. And we don't do those things and then we're born again. We are born again, and then we exercise the gift of repentance and faith that God gives to us because he has granted those things to us. And so I think that, yeah, I understand why people say that. It's not as new a cliche as you might suspect it is, but I agree. It's just not clear enough. The biblical language over and over, and you'll never see, ask Jesus into your heart. What did Jesus say? First words, Mark 1:15. First words, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. This is not to suggest that nobody has been saved who asked Jesus into their heart, but if they were asking Jesus into their heart, what they were really doing is repenting and trusting. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.